What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there are called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Splendiferous. Whoa. Stupendous.
Is that
wonderful?
A word? Yeah. Is splendiferous a word? Is that a, or do we make that word
I make it up, man. I make it up as I go. I played basketball last night and didn't hurt myself. So it's a good day.
Okay.
It's a good day.
All right. Well, that's your bar?
Yeah, considering last time I played, I pulled my groin for the first time.
So
in my life.
Why do you why?
I love it.
Getting hurt?
No, and I love playing. The mental state that it put me in afterwards, I have not felt in quite some time.
What do you mean?
Just good. Like I just felt really good.
Mm.
Ball is life.
Ball is life. All right.
No,
I'm happy for you. I'm happy you didn't get hurt.
I'm being more responsible. I played one game.
Okay.
So I shot around, went through a very hefty warm-up. I'm now to the point where the Theragun is going to go into my bag.
Yeah, that's a good, like that's a good idea.
We're going to use that for pre and post.
Well, that's a good idea.
Now, here's what I want to know. Mm. When it comes to the pickup hoops with Senor Danny Meringue, are you the chucker or are you like the ultimate box-out guy in the
No,
in the
no, lane? No. I'm still a point guard. I still handle the ball, but I am a setup point guard. I am a drive and kick, as it were.
Yeah.
I shouldn't drive as much as I do, but I do. But
we're not even talking about basketball here anymore.
No, that probably too. But no, my game has always been Andre Miller point guard.
Drive and kick.
We're drive and kick and a lot of mid post up.
And then every now and then you might get a 50-point game.
Yeah. But no, I've never been somebody who likes to shoot a ton. I've always preferred to set people up. Like I like to drive and draw two and find the extra guy.
I'm going
to
pull the old Will Ferrell and go, I don't believe you.
No, well, you can ask anybody who's ever played with me. I've never been like I've liked being the role player.
I can't imagine you playing basketball.
You can't?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm. Why? In my mind, I just don't know what that looks like.
It's actually a lot more coordinated than you think.
Well, I imagine that because I don't know what I'm imagining right now. I mean, Danny, let's our frame of reference here. You have had major hip surgery
twice.
You pulled your hamstring watching a football game. Mm-hmm. You got injured as we were walking out of a stadium in Washington, D.C. You were like, hamstring's going. I can't imagine you actually playing a sport.
Wait, I'm not sure. Did that one get brought up on the show?
No.
I don't think I heard about that.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, because he made it to the show on Monday. Yeah.
Like my whole right leg like locked up.
You act very surprised that I can't imagine this. But come on.
No. I mean, look, it's so I have. No, you're not wrong. So there are some days when stuff feels relatively normal.
Yeah.
And on other days, it feels the absolute worst. That's just kind of like. So I think I brought this up. I'm training to do a 1,200 pound club. To lift 1,200 total pounds through three lifts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was going to sound like a TLC series or something.
No. Like, so deadlift, squat, bench.
The 1,200 pound club.
Yeah. No. Deadlift, squat, bench is what I'm trying to do. And I'm almost to where I need to be on deadlift and squat. Not quite there on the bench. I got to add another probably 25, 30 pounds. But in training for it, the thing that I've realized is...
Text like Danny blew out his voice yelling at his dog.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things have happened. These injuries have happened.
No, these all have happened.
The 1,200
pounds. No. But the whole thing is like I've had to swallow my pride, and on days that I don't have it, I can't. Like, it's just like it's well, like yeah. I just do a significantly lighter workout. Where in the past I would be like, screw this, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then I would hurt myself. Mm-hmm. Or now, like, majorly hurt myself because you're talking about a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's been this weird kind of process. And it was like yesterday, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, my legs were a little bit sore from the workout 2 days before. I was like, you know what would be a really good idea? Get out on the basketball court and kind of run this out. You know, open it up a little bit because I've been doing so much stuff. It's about tightening everything. I was like, let's lengthen some things out. And I went through, I probably got a couple hundred shots up yesterday before I played in the game. Just back and forth. And it was like, okay, let's play a game. They're like, you want to run fives? I'm like, yeah. I ran fives, and then everybody in there was half my age, and I said, one.
Yeah.
One is all we're doing.
I was having this conversation a little while ago. I feel as if recreationally, I have sprinted for the last time in my life.
Yeah. I mean,
I just don't.
Didn't get up to full speed, that's for damn sure.
I don't think that I'm ever going to do that because I'm just like, yeah. I mean,
Bennett going to challenge you to a race, though, here in like in 2 years, and you're probably going to go for it? Or are you going to?
No.
You should let it happen.
No.
Okay.
No, I'll trip him. I mean, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, I'll race him, but I'm going to cheat. I feel like the benefits and
the risk-reward is
way unbalanced now. Like, yeah. I'm just sitting there going... All right, I could rupture my Achilles, calf, hammy,
fall and break a hip.
I don't think I'm ever going to sprint again.
No.
See,
I have four joints. Now, for my life, sure. I may have to.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody else's life, I may have to at some point. I just don't think
it's going to happen. But a willing decision for something non-life-threatening.
Yeah, I think I'm done sprinting.
Like even last night, I don't sprint.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. Now... I have found over the post hip surgery, like the ability for me to like actually like gear up and down is back.
I don't want to picture Danny gearing down.
No, like I can actually like hit a Euro step. I can actually slow down and it not stop me. But the problem is the court we were playing on last night was pretty dirty. Like, and I was like the slide. I was worried. Like that's how you know you're old.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, the cord's slick a little bit, and you're like, oh, no big deal. Like now I'm like, if I try to stop too hard, I might tear something.
Yeah.
So you play within the confines of like, don't go too fast, don't go too slow.
Yeah, I'm just, nope. I mean, not worth it to play basketball anymore.
I loved it.
See, and I think the last time I was in a full sprint was probably the fan NFL combine.
Yeah.
And that was a while ago. I don't know, a good 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember thinking that I don't think my body could keep up with my legs.
Yeah. I got a bad back now. Once you get 40, you're like, why?
I still think I have a broken bone in my foot from that event too.
Well, I bet you do.
On the shuttle run.
Look, my dad thought he had gout. It turned out he was walking around on a broken foot for 2 years. Yeah.
I can feel the bone slip every now and then. It's not good.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think there's something too, like just transitioning to a world of, you know, cornhole, spike ball, you know, the ladder golf that you play, just normal golf. Like these,
yeah,
there's a reason.
For sure.
There's a reason why, you know, you go to that. I don't need to be running around. Like I got bad back, I got bad shoulder.
Yeah.
Like I haven't dislocated my shoulder in several years. Mm. That is new. But guess what?
It's always there.
It coincides with me not doing all of the dumb stuff I used to do. Mm. So I'm here for it.
Doctor said I need a backyotomy.
I do. I'd be lying if I said I don't want to play in an over 40 basketball league. Or 35 and older, whatever I can find.
Boy, there is nothing that I would want to watch less than over 40 basketball.
I guarantee you, too, if Danny goes out for an over 40 basketball league, and if they go shirts and skins, Danny's like, I'm skins!
No, there's nothing that I would want to watch less than over 40 basketball. Mm-hmm. If you're playing, I would want to go and watch that. I would want to watch it. Because now I'm intrigued on what it looks like when you play basketball. Because I don't... It's just not something that I...
It doesn't compute.
I just never envisioned.
Yeah.
You know? I just never envisioned, like, you going out and hooping. Mm-hmm. You know? But question is, are you wearing a hair tie now? Because your hair
It's not a hair tie.
Karen-y.
It's headband. I threw it on last night. I tried.
Are you talking like one of them soccer headbands?
No, yep. I just imagine you with like high socks, a headband.
I didn't go high socks. It was ankle socks. But yes.
Are you wearing a jersey?
No, God, no. I would never do that. No, the last time I wore a jersey was when I played for the Air Force Base team. Mm. So 20 years ago. Yeah. So it's the last time I wore a jersey.
It sounds like the cable guy. Just thinking of Jim Carrey and
with the mouthpiece, guy. Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I do love me some high socks.
Like, you're about to get in the spin cycle, baby.
No, ankle socks. I was the only one on the court with ankle socks.
See, yeah, times have changed.
A lot of calf socks.
Times have changed.
Very weird.
Well, it was impossible to. It was hard to find the ankle socks back in the day. Now it's like everybody wants to wear mid calf sock. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't like it.
No,
it's either the ankle sock or it's knee high. There's no in between.
Yeah, Keith Van Hornet.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was a lacrosse guy too. So I mean, we all wore the knee highs.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. I definitely want to. I want to play in an adult league.
Yeah.
I had to guard this 20-year-old out of this first segment.
Yeah, dude, I'll support you in that endeavor.
I had to guard this 20-year-old kid last night.
Yeah,
brother, I was holding on for dear life.
See that?
Holding on for. He was so fast. He was so fast.
See, this is another reason why it's like, well, why?
Yeah, but like,
why?
He had.
What are we doing here?
I guarantee you, he was fed up with me because I was putting my shoulder into him, cutting him off, and just bumping him at every time. I'm like, I'm gonna wear this kid down. Like,
I'm gonna sweat on him. Oh, I just think of Along Came Polly. Yeah. Ben Stiller's face just. You're like that. You don't sweat like this when you're 20, do you?
Oh, buddy, it was handshake rules. I was giving him the Ron Harper treatment. I had a hand on his hip, pushing him out wide on everything. I'm like, nah, brother, you're not doing this. And even when he did get by me, I'd turn around and just kind of give him a little bump on the way to the rim. I'm like, you're half my age, but no, I'm not going to allow this to happen.
These poor's got 20 extra years of seasoning. This sweat's different, pal.
No, it was, like I said, it was good. I got done, and I was like, I had just had a big smile on my face. I was like, this felt good.
I can see Danny, like, planning out, like, the meal the night before. He's like, all right, let's see. I'm going to go play basketball tomorrow. So we need something with a lot of garlic. Mm. So the 20-year-old's not going to want to get close to me. I'm just sweating it out of my pores. How do you feel about curry tonight, honey? I got a hoop tomorrow. I need to get a little stank.
Wash it down
with
a little vodka sauce. Garlic and vodka.
That's old man game right there.
There you go.
That's old man game.
I like it. No, it was. But no, I had the headband on.
I like it.
I tried to go without it, but it's everywhere, and it's in my face. And I had to get the like Russ said, the soccer headbands, the thin ones.
Yeah.
See, I love this from the old Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. 5'10 white guy here. The only thing I run is my mouth.
I don't get up to a full sprint, but I get above a jog.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We're approaching 3/4 speed.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, but it's about how you change speeds, not how fast you can go.
That's what slow people say.
Hey, I can get to where I want to on the floor.
I mean, yeah, tell that to a fast guy. He's like, yeah, okay.
Look, see ya. Danny's still got some realizations coming to him. pretty soon in the next couple years.
No, oh, no.
Brother.
No, no, the realizations have come. I just don't accept them. Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
There we go.
And that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is that he is never going to be told what to do. But it went well. You're here. Are you sore today?
Mildly, but I'm saying,
I feel good.
Yeah.
Felt good.
All right.
Yeah. Look good, feel good, play good.
You're damn right. Mm-hmm. With that headband, ankle socks.
Yeah, the headband was a choice.
Yeah.
I had the short shorts on yesterday, too. There was a lot of
high boy.
Yeah, so it sounds like you looked like me when I showed up to the fan combine.
Yeah, now you really do need to wear a jersey.
A lot of thigh meat.
You need to go short shorts and a jersey because that 20-year-old's not going to...
Did you just call me? Is that what you said?
Thigh meat.
Oh, sorry. I thought I heard something different. No. I'm going to go ahead. You guys go ahead. I'm going to turn off my microphone now.
You do need to go jersey because that 20-year-old, he's not going to want a piece of that. Mm-mm. If you go jersey.
No.
Like, and not like an actual basketball. Like, I'm talking, you go down to the rec center and, you get yourself something nice and thin with big holes in it and you just muscle them around. All right. Well, I'm assuming that was 4 blocks from your house where you played.
Yeah, George Fox.
No, two blocks.
Two.
Well, everything's 2 blocks.
Well, I know, but I was going to widen it out. I didn't know about the gym. So 4 blocks? Four?
We'll go with 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess, college campuses, I guess, can have a pretty good size.
Yeah. Yeah.
There might be a couple more blocks.
You're not going to get on some sort of watch list just roaming around that campus. Just 40-year-old guy just rolling.
Good.
Well, no, because they're not minors. They're not minors.
Yeah. Campus security doesn't have their eye out for that guy. Like, hey. That guy in the headband.
Yeah. Look, man, I've seen...
That guy in the headband and the short shorts.
I've seen some weird stuff around Newburgh, so no, I'm in the clear. I'm in the clear.
All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? We got a lot of football. We have our picks coming up at 2 o'clock today. We got some NFL playoff rundowns. I saw something that it sparked my interest, and I have a question as to whether or not it has people trusting Dan Lanning's roster management a little bit more. But where we got to start, we've got an update for the hometown team. This is something that, Danny, you were kind of dreading yesterday. Something to keep a watchful eye on, though, with Donovan Klingon in his bum ankle. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, we've got an update from the Portland Trailblazers on the status of rookie big man Donovan Clingan. Reevaluate him in a week. Not the worst news, but not the best news.
No, this is probably the best news you could have hoped for, to be honest. With the way he hit the ground and the way he looked. Because he originally grabbed his knee. He grabbed his knee, which we all went, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then typically when you see a professional athlete hit the floor like that and get that angry, it's not because they're mad at somebody else. They're mad that they got hurt in a way that's probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
And when I don't know if it made it on TV or not, but there's a cloth tunnel they roll out that gives some privacy as they go in through the back tunnel, and he smacked the crap out of it. Like he was pissed, and I was like, great, awesome. You know, when you see all of that in one, you're like, he probably just got like a high ankle sprain. He's done for 6-8 weeks.
But that also may just be him. Because we talked to Danny Hurley. We know the competitive nature.
He's a psychopath.
That is an ankle that bothered him earlier this year. It's probably like the re-aggravation is probably what upset him in that, oh, this happened again. Not as like in hindsight, now that we look back on it and we say reevaluate it in a week. But also that means nothing.
Yeah.
Like you could have a 6-week injury, reevaluate it in a week, and then we'll say, sorry, going to be out a month.
I will say you never know until the player's back. But from what I've been told, dodged a bullet.
That's good, because you were a little
I was legitimately concerned. Yeah, I was, because I was asking around and see if there was any updates, and hey, have you heard back on the scans, and no news with not anybody getting back to me. That always raises an eyebrow, and I'm like, oh, man. And then I started getting word a little bit later, like, hey, it's going to be okay. And I was like, okay, cool. And then we get the official word out that just a week. All right, cool. But yeah, he's likely going to miss at least 4 games. He could come back based on the timeline for the last road game on this 3-game trip that's coming up against Charlotte. I don't think so. I think they'd probably look to bring him back at home for the most part. That's just kind of been the case. Also, don't rush him back.
Yeah,
they come back for a 7-game homestand before the All-Star break. Get him in there. And here's the thing.
And also, good players against bad teams like Charlotte, probably not in your best interest.
No. And did they end up pulling off the win last night? I think they did. I know I was looking at the entirety of the tankability of the NBA last night, and pretty much everything went Portland's way except for one game.
Brooklyn.
Boy.
Yeah, they did win. They beat the Jazz 117.
Yeah, the Raptors won. The Pelicans won, which they should not have won. My God, they should not have won.
I don't know what happened in that game.
There was an egregiously bad goaltend that was not called in the final seconds.
Was Scott Foster on the game?
No, he wasn't. Oh. But those who will remember, October of 2012, Scott Foster blew a goaltending call so bad against LaMarcus Aldridge that it cost the Blazers the game in overtime.
Against the Thunder.
Thunder. You had the Jazz and Hornets where it was the great tank off of like, who wins here? It's going to be meaningful, kind of a deal. And then the Clippers just missed doubling up the Nets. The Nets were so furious about beating the Portland Trailblazers that they sat everyone.
Yeah, point differential does not matter in the NBA.
It does not. No, they ended up losing by 59 last night.
They had 3 consecutive quarters failing to score 20 points. Mm-hmm.
They went to score 21, 14, Wild. 16, and 16. And in case
that is
you're
crazy.
Wondering, the Clippers scored 37, 44, and 24. And this game was tied at 21 after one. So, yeah. The difference in the game, 59, was only 8 less points than the Clippers or the Nets scored, 67.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I mean, they sat everyone, dude.
Everyone.
No Cam Johnson, no Ben Simmons, no D'Angelo Russell, no Nick Claxton.
Yeah, all right.
The Who He Play For Olympics. This was a gold medal game.
Dang.
Gold medal game.
All right. So that worked out well for the Blazers. So now you have the Hornets pick up their 9th win. The Jazz are still at 10. The Nets are 14 and 27, but that was a big loss for the hometown team.
The one team that is uncatchable is Washington.
But the Raptors, man.
Yeah.
They beat the Celtics.
Look, we haven't talked about this because we don't care about the East Coast for the most part.
We have West Coast bias here.
But the everybody's like, oh, the Celtics will be fine. Oh, the Celtics will be fine. And they probably will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, the Cavs need to go through them. And they do in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs are the best team in basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Celtics. It is the Cavs.
They play the Oklahoma City Thunder again tonight.
Yep.
That's fun.
Let's be fun.
That game had 30 lead changes last time. It was
incredible. 30 lead changes, 8 ties, and it was an incredibly well-played basketball game. 129-122 is the last game. So I'm hoping it's that again, and it should have the same kind of lead-up. But the interesting thing about this, about last night and what took place, I documented it all last night. So let me grab the actual tweet because there's a bunch of numbers behind it as far as where everybody sits, right?
Okie dokie.
The Trailblazers are at 13 wins.
Okay.
13. Okay.
That's one more than 12.
Yes. The Pelicans,
one less than 14.
Pelicans beat the Mavs. There are now 3 teams with 10 wins.
All
Pelicans,
right.
Jazz, and Raptors.
We can catch
now, them. Now, the Jazz and Hornets played last night, and the Jazz did not win, so if they had, they would have gone up to 11. But the Hornets did, so they're now up to 9. Okay? So if you look at this, the Blazers at 13 wins are 3 games out of the third seed, or the third worst record in the NBA. 3 games!
All right.
3 games, guys.
And they've got 2 against the Hornets, 2 against the Raptors, 2 against the Jazz, 1 against the Nets, 2 against the Wizards.
And if there's something that I believe in this franchise doing down the stretch in the All-Star break, it is being the worst team in the NBA.
Dang, son. All right.
Remember the line after at for the final 41 games I set was 9.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
9.5 wins in the final 41.
Over.
Mm-hmm.
No, under.
Yeah.
Under.
Nine wins at 13 would put you at 22.
Yeah.
Does that really sound that crazy?
No. No, it sounds like last year's team.
Yeah, and the year before, and the year before.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So it's like the thing that is happening is that I said was going to happen. Things are tightening up. Washington, you're not catching. They're a level of bad that you can't fathom.
Yeah.
But Brandon Ingram's going to play. Zion Williamson's going to play. CJ McCollum's going to play. DeJounte Murray's going to play. The Pelicans, as bad as they are, they're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And I mean, to your point about the Pelicans, last night you mentioned how bad the Pelicans uniforms were against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
What were the Celtics wearing?
No idea.
They reminded me of those.
It's that same nasty highlighter green.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Yeah,
that's why they lost to the Raptors.
Yeah, that look needs to go.
It does need to go.
The Celtics, if you're one of the traditional franchises, stick with your traditional stuff. Like, you can have like they have the white and gold ones.
Sure.
Those are kind of cool. I like those. It's a different look. But like, you don't get to do like Oregon highlighter green. Yeah. That's not, no, you're a franchise that has been around for 100 years. You don't get to do that.
What it reminded me of was the world's worst uniforms, those Michigan State highlighter.
Yeah.
They're dark green and highlighter green.
What the hell are those?
Yeah, right. That's what it reminded me of last night.
Very, very reminiscent.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I guess the other little news and note here is that there was a report from Hoops Hype about Robert Williams III being available for multiple second round picks.
Oh.
I will absolutely annihilate that report.
Okay.
I have been told that the Blazers would not move him for that.
Okay.
So I don't know where that is coming from. I do not believe the Blazers in any way, shape, matter, or form would move Robert Williams III for second round picks.
What would, okay, so draft compensation, though, they may be off on what that draft compensation looks like, but oftentimes when these reports come out, it is draft compensation as opposed to getting a younger player in return for Robert Williams.
The way I understand it is they very much value him as not only a player, but as a locker room guy and a culture guy. And they are not just going to give him up because his ability on the floor, again, the availability is always the question. His ability is not in question. If they're going to give him up to a team, they know that if he does play those final 30 games of the regular season, and he's viable for a team in the playoffs, like the Thunder, who lack size and could make this deal work very, very easily, that could swing a title the same way Drew Holiday did.
Well, and so if it's a team like the Thunder, then would it not behoove them to, since that's somebody with an
endless amount of draft capital?
Yes. You could go with a first round pick because you know that also an Oklahoma City Thunder first-round pick is not the same as, say, a New Orleans Pelicans first-round pick.
Slide us that Clippers first-round pick that they have.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, but so, no. You know, if you're getting a pick that you know is going to be around 20 to 24, as opposed to two second-round picks, and so, you know.
I don't even think they'd move him for, like, a heavily protected first. I think they would want a viable first for him.
Yeah. You mentioned Robert Williams as big culture guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the surface, doesn't sound that great. The guy who got his nickname of Time Lord for habitually being late, being the culture guy of the young Portland team. He's turned it around.
It's all vibes.
Okay.
It's all vibes. Time is a flat circle with Rob.
Yeah. But that's like, you know, he's a culture guy. It's like, no, he's just he is a professional.
Yes.
He's a professional, and that's what they're looking for.
And they want.
He's a good guy in the locker
room. No, and they want guys like him in the locker room. Every team wants a guy like him in the locker room.
They just want him there on time.
Huh. You know, whatever.
That's where a nickname can stick with you for just, you're late a few times early in your life. And then, boom. Sticks with you forever. People don't forget.
People don't forget.
All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. There's something that I saw. Two former Oregon Ducks getting pretty high praise in the National Football League. Is this reason to trust where Dan Lanning's taking the Oregon roster? That after Rust with SportsCenter. All right. The nominees for the Rookie of the Year have been rolled out in the world of college football. Or the NFL, sorry. College football. The six finalists for the Rookie of the Year, we know who's going to win.
This is not going to come as a shock.
The six finalists are Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders, Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos, Malik Nabers of the New York Giants, Brock Bowers of the Las Vegas Raiders, Bryant Thomas Jr. of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Bucky Irving of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Only six rookies getting nominated for the Rookie of the Year by the NFL.
Bucky had himself a damn fine year.
Yeah, they did. Do you notice anything odd about that?
No. What's springing up in that?
Six players, three colleges represented.
Interesting.
LSU with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Bryant Thomas, Oregon, Bo Nix, and Bucky Irving, Georgia's Brock Bowers entering that. And
pretty good group.
Yeah. And when you think of that, you think of Oregon is coming off a season where they went 13-0, won the Big Ten, their first year in the Big Ten, and then got housed in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. 13-1 season and a conference championship. Think of this. They lost two nominees for Rookie of the Year. Evan Williams of the Green Bay Packers was the second highest rated rookie in all of the NFL.
He's one of the highest rated safeties.
At safety. Yeah, he took a little bit of a dip as the season went on.
He got hurt. And he got
But he was the number one safety the first like 6 weeks of the year.
Yeah, he stayed at the top for quite some time, or near the top for quite some time. And then he got dinged up, I want to say it was like week 14 or something like that.
Your guy, Jackson Powers Johnson of the Raiders, he was the second highest rated rookie guard in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He played center in college.
Yeah.
He was the number one rated center for rookies in the NFL.
Took him a little while to get on the field just because the Raiders offensive line was trying to sort through some stuff. But once he got there,
yeah, he was the number two interior offensive lineman. Played over 500 snaps at guard and 400 and something at center. So you look at that, and there's four impact rookies in the National Football League coming off a roster from last year, and they improved their record.
And not it was too shabby.
In the Big Ten, not the Pac-12 this past
year.
The
one that impacted the most from a negative standpoint was Georgia, losing McConkey and Bowers.
Yeah.
Like, you saw what it did to their offense, but it also shows you just how quickly Oregon reloaded.
And that's where I go the roster building and the faith that Oregon fans probably should have. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, the naysayers that'll say, well, a lot of his recruits aren't playing. They actually are a lot. They're actually playing quite a bit. And it was year three.
He's also murdered the transfer portal.
Yeah, he's done a really good job.
Absolutely, crush the transfer portal.
Picking and choosing, and if you look at the additions to the portal this year, they are down from what they were last year. They're still not done though. They'll probably add a couple more guys, but it's not going to be the 16 that they brought in a year ago. You think of the hits that the other teams though took. You mentioned Georgia without Bowers and McConkey. How different their offense looked from one
good.
Year to the next.
It was like it was just a not good offense.
Well, look at LSU. Mm-hmm. LSU's got three guys on this list with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. All up for Rookie of the Year. They went 9-4. It's really hard when you have that level of talent. That it's like you sit there and you go, "Well, Oregon did a really good job through the portal of getting guys." Like, you know, Dylan Gabriel, getting a Tez Johnson to come back. You know, guys like Jeffrey Bosa coming back for one more run at things. Going and getting a Kobe Savage and Jabbar Muhammad out of the portal. That picking and choosing where your holes are going to be on your roster and kind of backfilling it. That, if you are an Oregon fan, you should be encouraged by that. They were the one team that continued to accelerate through this process. Not take a step back, right? And it obviously is going to be a big hill to climb this next year because one of the luxuries that they had was they brought back their offensive line from a year ago, with the exception of Jackson Powers Johnson. You slide Poncho over to center, right? And that was – they had to work through some things at the beginning of the year.
They went through back-to-back Remington Award winners in Forsyth and
they've done a really good job at that center position historically.
Yeah.
I mean, like for a really long time, they've been really good.
It started with Max.
Yeah. You can go back. Their interior offensive line has been.
But I mean, as far as like being like award winners,
Unger.
Yeah, Max Unger's. You kind of look and having three Remington Award winners in 15 years, 18 years? That's pretty insane.
Not bad.
Nobody else is going to match that.
I think, Alabama went on a run.
You're right.
Like,
Barrett. What was it, Barrett Silly? Was he a center or was he a guard?
I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting to kind of look at when you're looking at the landscape of the college football world, and we kind of get lost in between, you know, college and the NFL, to look at the end of the year. Six nominees for Rookie of the Year. Three of them are from LSU, a team that went 9-4 after replacing Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Bryant Thomas Jr. Oregon has Bo Nix and Bucky Irving. Boom. They're off. And look, that's not to mention, we talk about Evan Williams and Jackson Powers Johnson. Their leading receiver is now with Bo in Denver, too, and Troy Franklin from a year ago, right? The what they lost from 2023 to 2024 was pretty damn significant, too. And so something to keep an eye out on. And are you looking at the Remington Award winners there?
Yeah, Alabama did have three. Barrett Salih, Barrett Jones. I knew I had a Barrett in my head. It was driving me crazy. They had three. No. Yeah, three in a 10-year period. Yeah. Yeah. Barrett Jones, Ryan Kelly, and Landon Dickerson. I forgot about Dickerson.
It seems.
Yeah, pretty good.
It seems.
Ohio State had back-to-back in there, and Pat Elfing and Billy Price. They were not, obviously, high-level NFL guys.
Yeah.
But most of these guys did end up becoming high-level NFL guys.
Oh, all right. Well, it wasn't JPJ, though, the first winner though?
Yeah.
They were finalists. Forsythe was finalist.
Yeah.
I think Hieronymus Grassi was a finalist as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone on a big run.
I thought Alex won for some reason. I had that in my head that he did. But yeah, I mean, you really got guys like your A.Q. Shipley and Marquise Pouncey, and it's pretty good. Dominic Raiola.
Now his kid's pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
good too. It's a pretty good indicator. It's for the most part, it hits pretty solidly. But there's a couple in here you're kind of like, huh, I forgot about that one.
All right.
How did you win?
How did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
You can get out of here. Hey, in college football, we talked about the coaching carousel yesterday. There is a little bit of a hubbub brewing right now. With one Bill Belichick in his status at North Carolina. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Bill Belichick is the head coach of the University of North Carolina.
You sure about that? Same old place. You sure about that?
He's recruiting for him.
You sure about that?
They gave him a sweatshirt with the sleeves cut off at his press conference.
Well,
now reports are coming out that Bill Belichick has not signed his contract.
And you got to get into the weeds for this one, because he has signed a term sheet, which is very normal. That's not unusual in sports. This is typically what is signed when you agree to a term sheet, and then it gets sent off to the lawyers. Everything gets ratified, and then when you see like the photo of like the actual contract being signed, that's when the contract is signed. He has agreed to coach the University of North Carolina. He has not signed.
Yeah,
he coached the University of North Carolina.
He did that on December 11th. Mm-hmm. And now here's where the reporting is wildly different. Some, including those with legal backgrounds, mm-hmm. like Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, who is a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
some say the term sheet is not binding to the $10 million buyout that everybody is referencing when it comes to Bill Belichick departing North Carolina for a job.
Prior to June 1st, 2025.
Others are saying it is binding in North Carolina's eyes, right?
It would require litigation. Who is the former GM for the Packers? He always says it. There will be lawyers.
Ted Thompson? Yeah. Is that the one?
No. It's not Albert Andrew Brandt.
Thank you. Andrew Brandt. There will be lawyers.
Yeah.
And that's... if he does go to the NFL or looks to go to the NFL, there will be lawyers.
But this is also kind of contradictory, because he has not interviewed for any NFL jobs.
But his name
has popped up. His name has been throwing around because, I don't know. He's only the most successful coach in NFL history. When you think of the amount of rings that he has on his hands, both as a coordinator and a head coach. But... he hasn't, a lot of teams have been turned off because of the $10 million buyout that has been reported and rumored. Now you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys have shown interest, and there's people that said that Bill would have been interested in that Cowboys job, which that seems, Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick, holy smokes. Do you think the allure for Bill would be if Jerry does the post-game press conference, I don't have to do one? And maybe he would be okay with that. But something tells me Bill Belichick would hate, absolutely hate coaching for a team owned by Jerry Jones.
Oil and water.
I think it's more like, this is terrible. It's like old bum fights videos.
That is pretty terrible.
Like that's how this goes.
That is pretty terrible.
But does that paint a picture in your head?
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Sure gets there. But this is all to say, Bill Belichick's currently on the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the road, doing in-home visits, doing everything a college football head coach will do. And there are people that are close to Bill Belichick, which I would like to quote Aaron Rodgers in this one, what movie did he, Zoolander.
Mm.
Was it Zoolander that he quoted? Where he was asked, somebody close to you said, and he goes, somebody said they're close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will go with, I don't know what to believe with Bill Belichick, because that man, nobody can read.
No.
Ever. So
he could be on to Cincinnati.
Not Cincinnati, but he could be on to Dallas. He could. What job would he take right now?
How bad is that relationship with the Jets?
not redeemable on either side here. I think if there was one team.
It would be the funniest one.
If you want to power rank them from worst to first, I would have put the Patriots, going back to the Patriots over going to the Jets. But I don't think that that would go well.
Was Woody Johnson the owner there at that point, or like
no,
what
he wasn't.
Time? Okay, I didn't.
But there's a lot of bad blood.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
Bill Belichick can hold a grudge almost as good as Danny.
Mm.
Almost.
It's a lot,
dude. Petty Olympic multi-time gold winner, gold medal winner over here.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Mm.
Hey, good news, though. Mm. It sounds like Ben Johnson is close.
It might happen.
Who is the other guy? They said it's down to Ben Johnson and who else?
Oh, God. Now you're making me...
It was down to, like, two, and Ben Johnson was one, and then...
I just saw Ben Johnson and blacked out. So.
Quite literally, everybody had the response that I did yesterday when we were talking about it of, why would he take a job with no quarterback, no receivers... A couple good old linemen?
Because when you've got the Bears job with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and who's the other guy there they got there?
Well, they said the Bears are down to Ben Johnson and Mike McCarthy.
Which, those are not the same thing.
Mike Ditkarthy.
The Ben Johnson of it all is the latest rumor is that Shadur would fall to number six to the Raiders.
Well, yeah.
And basically, Dion would force it to happen.
Would force what to happen? Him be your head coach?
Well, no. Shadur to the Raiders.
Yeah. Why not?
Taking Shadur at six would not bother me as much as taking Shadur at one.
Yeah. Oh, there's the spirit. There's the spirit. That's the right idea.
That's where I'm at in that. In the which evil do you prefer? I would prefer Cam Ward.
Okay.
But... If you're getting Shadur at six, the value scaling feels more appropriate.
See, now here's this is a good point brought up on the Vancouver Ford text line that I've heard also the last couple days. Why would Ben Johnson go to the Raiders and deal with the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos?
That's another one too. Where guess what? All of those teams have a quarterback.
I mean, you could go to the Bears and deal with the Packers, Vikings, and Lions,
but you have a quarterback.
True.
I mean, that's a pretty big one, too. But, I mean, and it's a good quarterback you got, too.
But if you're talking about divisions, like, the only place where you're going where you're not dealing with anything is the AFC South.
I put the NFC South in there, too.
Okay. The South.
The South.
Okay.
Which is really good at college football.
It is.
Well, but even the NFC North, it's like, okay, Jordan Love, are we convinced about him yet?
Well, and if you go to...
And how long is Jared Goff going to really be around?
If you go to the Bears... You're taking away their play caller from the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Certainly helps.
You know, that helps you a little bit, you know?
And in Minnesota, you got J.J. McCarthy coming in, but, you know, we saw Sam Darnold find his shadow the last couple of weeks, and he turned back into old Sam Darnold.
Well, may I remind you, Danny Dimes is on that roster in Minnesota too, huh?
He also J.J. McCarthy, who every time they pan to him on the sideline, I think he's a fan.
Okay, would you rather have... Ben Johnson as your head coach, but next year Daniel Jones is your quarterback?
God, no. Doesn't matter what it is. I am the Care Bear jumping into traffic at that point.
All right. But it'd be for 1 year.
I know.
No?
But can we see you in your Care Bear outfit jumping into traffic?
Yeah. I don't think Tom Brady would bring Daniel Jones
in. I don't think so either.
But he might bring in Sam Darnold.
If we're stopgapping, I'm okay with Sam.
Because he's a USC guy.
No, just because I saw what he did this year. Like, I'm not worried about the playoffs. I'm not worried about the pressure.
Yeah.
I'm worried about a quarterback who's functional, who can get Brock Bowers and maybe one other receiver
the
ball.
As a Raiders fan, you should not be worried about the playoffs or any pressure.
No, but like when you're rebuilding, no, you're not.
Mm. Who, in both those, you mentioned both those divisions are going to be really tough no matter what.
You're going to be up against
it
one way or the other.
Which one would you rather go through? I might want to go through the North, though. Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh is the head coach on the other side.
For sure.
You know that he's going to turn some things around.
The flip side, though, is that the Chiefs are up against it financially. You know they've got to start making
some sacrifices. Well, they have been for years.
Well, I know, but you know they have to start making some real sacrifices. And Kelsey's aging out very quickly.
Yeah.
Do they not keep just basically rotating in receivers and whatnot and position players around Patrick Mahomes?
I can tell you, tight ends are very important when you have that generational quarterback.
Yes, that right.
But
there.
You know who is the most important? The generational quarterback.
For sure.
he's the guy.
But I mean, here's the thing. Tom managed to drag Gronk down to Tampa Bay.
Yes, you're damn right.
It matters.
It does.
And with the Raiders right now, they have their Gronk.
Yeah. Well, he also had...
They just have no quarterback. no quarterback.
I'm sorry, man.
It's tough.
I think it's going to get... it'll get better.
To be fair, the Raiders have only had a quarterback once in the franchise's existence of, like, true production standards. Like, don't get me wrong, Stabler, sure, but...
We're talking Rich Gannon?
Rich Gannon is it. That is the only, like, above-average production quarterback they've ever had.
Teams with less salary cap space than the Chiefs heading into next season.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Dallas, Buffalo, Atlanta, Miami, Seattle, Cleveland, New Orleans.
Well, so you got some big playoff teams and some really big not
Dallas and New Orleans Lunkers. Being there. Yikes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to hour number two here. We got playoff football coming up, and Lamar Jackson, I'm picking up what Lamar's putting down. Because he's just throwing it all out there. He doesn't care about the fans. He doesn't care about friendship. He just cares about ball. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.